Today I want to talk to you about applying prayer. Prayer is a topic we could talk a lot about, but in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul is writing this letter, and he makes some statements about prayer that I think we can learn from. Here it is, Colossians 1, 9 and 10. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. May it instruct us today. Lord, it's more than just verbiage that's written down. It is life-giving. So, Lord, give us life today in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to focus three things: the importance of prayer, the content of prayer, and I'm going to deal with just a couple of obstacles to prayer today, because I want you to learn how to apply prayer to your life. And I'm just going to kind of make this as simple as I can. In fact, I could preach this today. But today I'm really going to lay back, because I want you to hear. I don't want you to get lost in some hype and I don't think hype is wrong. I need to just pour this out today and let the Spirit speak to your heart. In this passage of 10 verses, twice already, Apostle Paul has told the Colossians that he is praying for them. He says, "I'm thanking God," early on in the passage, "I'm thanking God for you." And then he says, "My prayers for you are unceasing." Now, I don't believe these are just nice words or nice thoughts that Paul had. I really believe Paul was praying for this church. I know sometimes we tell people, "I'll pray for you." And I think it's a nice thought. But I don't believe Paul is just giving a nice thought here. I think he is saying, "I am praying for you." But the first question that kind of comes up, what is prayer? Let me simply give you a definition, as simple as I think I can make it. Prayer is simply talking and communing with God in relationship. When we begin a relationship, in a husband-wife relationship, we begin it by talking to each other and just beginning to commune in relationship. That's all prayer is. We do it through worship. We do it in all kinds of ways. We just pray. So I encourage you to learn how to pray. It's just opening your heart to God Almighty. But as simple as it is, it's something we all have to be reminded of. I have to remind you to pray. It amazes me how quickly we forget. There's too many people, though, that think prayer is maybe a certain sound. Maybe Shakespearean English, or it's theological and terminology that's spoken very loudly at times and goes something like this: "God, thou hast are the greatest." And sometimes we get locked into thinking that some speech or some way that we say it is prayer, and that's not true. Some feel it's a place that you go to, and that's why GO5 is a place we can pray, or a conference room is a place we can pray. We pray in 208 in this place. We pray here in the sanctuary. It's not about a place. It is not about a posture. I know we're supposed to kneel by our beds and fold our hands and put them like this, and that's prayer. But honestly, none of those things are true. None of those things are prayer. In fact, you can sound very holy and just be talking to yourself. Because prayer is not things. I remember growing up, an elderly man in the back of the church stood up and prayed. It touched me because it was just honest. It wasn't with flowery words, because I grew up with pastors in the South, and I can't demonstrate it, but I mean, they would suck air every other word. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't even do it. I think I'll hyperventilate if I do. But I grew up, and I thought maybe that's the way you reach God, until I heard this elderly man just be humble, honest, and genuine, and just say, "God, I need you." I think so many times we make prayer something that it's not. Let me give you four reasons I think prayer is important. Number one is we should pray because I think it's a great privilege. It's just a great privilege, church. Let me put it this way. Can you think of any greater honor than having the audience with the one who rules all creation? Wait a minute. You're going to go visit the queen or the king? We would think that would be a great honor. That would be, you have the privilege. The privilege, the honor of going to the one who made everything. In fact, you have been invited to speak with the one who put the stars in place. You have been invited to seek counsel from the one who is truth and wisdom. You have been invited to sit down with the one who knows everything. J. Hudson Taylor, he was a British Christian missionary to China. And here's a quote of his I wanted you to hear this morning, and here it is for you. The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He quotes Jeremiah 33:3. God invites us not to just use this privilege daily, but from moment to moment. Paul, in fact, puts it this way, pray without ceasing. How many remember this old hymn called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? How many? Raise your hand. That's enough of us. Let's sing it. Ready? It says, What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Now listen to this next stanza. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And it goes on to say, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Privilege. And you wonder, why am I going through what I'm going through? Because we don't take everything to Him. We just don't pour our hearts and talk to God. So not only is it a privilege, but number two, we should pray because we're in a fierce battle, church. We are constantly warned in the Word of God that, did you know the devil's intention is to neutralize what you're doing and to demoralize you? That is his intention, to wipe you out. We as Christians, as believers in Christ, he wants to take us out. In fact, Ephesians 6:12 says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The church, it sounds a bit scary, but that's why we need prayer. I need one who's above all spiritual things. I need one who I can call on. I need God's help. Church, we're in the battle and we need the help of God. The enemy's assembled his armies. But we sometimes neglect prayer. And we don't get prepared for battle. Paul tells us, put on the full armor of God. In fact, he says, I want you to stand firm, and I want you to put on the belt of truth. You've heard these things. The breastplate of righteousness. Get your feet prepared with the gospel. I want you to take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all of that for what? He tells us in verse 18, so we can pray. Here's what it says, Ephesians 6:18, and pray. He says, do all of this, get all ready, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We need to pray because of spiritual warfare. Church, there is a battle. So that's another reason we need to pray. A third reason is prayer. I like this one. It is a deterrent to sin in our life. If you could keep your mind stayed on Him, He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. That's the praying without ceasing. What if you could just keep your mind there? Say, God, should I be doing this? Should I be thinking this? Should I be saying that? Should I be? And with that attitude, I'm telling you, sin will be deterred in your life. You say, well, no. It will. It really will. If you can keep your mind on Him, I'm telling you, it'll change you. In the sincerest times of honest prayer, what God does is He reveals and exposes the excuses that we use to cater to sin. Well, God, I think I just got to have that. But we don't go to Him. It's what you want. Through prayer, God holds up a mirror to our lives so that we can see who we really are. But why? So we can repent. We can change. David pins it this way in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I don't want sin to be a part of my life. God, point it out to me. Anything that offends you, search me. Church, if you'll pray that way, because it's important that we do, because sin will wipe you out if it has a chance. But prayer will keep you secure if you'll stay in Him. Number four, I believe prayer makes a difference. I can't tell you how prayer works. Just don't know. All I know is that circumstances change when people call out to God in prayer. Diseases have been healed. Cancer has been destroyed. Strength has been imparted. Guidance has been given. Hearts have been softened. Lives have been restored. Marriages have been mended. Provision has been supplied. When we pray, we are changed. Prayer makes a difference. Why? Because God loves to work in the lives of His people. So what should I pray? What's the content of my prayer? One of the most instructive parts of our text is noticing what Paul asked on behalf of the Colossians. Paul doesn't focus on material things or temporal things. He's not concerned with their comfort. He's concerned for their spiritual growth. Notice what Paul's first request is in Colossians 1:9. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The word fill in that passage is the word that means to completely fill to the top, or really a better way to say it is to totally have control of you. Can you imagine that if His will had total control of me? Paul's primary concern is that the Colossians come to a place where they understand God and they submit to His will. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He pray? Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And we need to do the same, church. Paul doesn't only just pray the Colossians are able to discern God's will, but he prays that they'll also be able to act upon that will and have power to do it. Verse 10, he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Paul is not praying just that we might be more knowledgeable or but he's praying that we might learn about God so we can be more faithful to Him. Paul is finding and seeking for that balance in the lives of these Christians. He prays that they might have understanding, and then what they understand, they might live by it. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you more about our Christian living, our lifestyle, because Paul is going to deal with that. The content of our prayers needs to be more than the temporal things of life. It needs to be about the Spirit's work in our life so that we can bear fruit, church. Well, I need the Spirit to work in my life because this week people are going to pick my patience. They're going to pick my faithfulness. Are you really there? They're going to pick my love. They're going to pick my kindness. And I need to just keep bearing it. I bear fruit. I want good fruit to come from my life. You can pick it all you want because He and His Spirit's work in my life allows me to keep bearing that fruit. Let me take a moment, though, and share with you two obstacles to prayer. There's probably more, but let me try to condense it into two that I think affect probably us mostly. Ready? Number one, we're too busy. I don't know about you. I'm only 46 years old, but my life is so much busier now than it's ever been. I remember at home and growing up with Mom and Dad, and we had a lot more time, it seemed like, at home. The school events, the things, the happenings, they have just increased, and we've gotten too busy. Church, we've gotten too busy. And one of the biggest obstacles to prayer is that people say, I want to pray, but I just don't have time. So let me ask some pointed questions. Do you eat each day? Do you wash or bathe? Do you read the paper or watch the news? Do you have time to watch your favorite show? Do you have time to take a nap? Do you have time to exercise? If so, which of those things are more important than building a relationship with God Almighty? Is eating more important? See, even the things that we need to sustain us are not as important as building a relationship with God. And we let this obstacle of being too busy get in our way. So if you really don't have time to pray, really don't, then substitute one of the things you're doing for prayer. You just need to substitute it. Is it that simple? A second obstacle. Are you ready? We have trouble concentrating. How many of you have trouble concentrating when you pray? Probably all of us. We struggle with it. Our mind begins to wander when we begin to pray. We finally get time to pray, and it's like, man, I just can't stay focused. There are several ways I think that could help us. You need to pray at a time when you're most mentally alert. Listen, pray while you're lying in bed is probably not the best time to pray. Now, it works for me when I wake up in the middle of the night. I just begin to pray, and man, I fall right back to sleep. I think we need to find an alert time. We tend to give God the leftovers instead of the best. Another thing is we need to find a quiet place where you won't be interrupted. Church, I pray in the car. I pray in the shower. I pray in these places because there's no interruptions usually in those times. And so I'm able to get my mind focused on them. I don't know what they are for you. Maybe it's a quiet room. Maybe it's a place. But you need to find it. Let me tell you something else that will help your mind from wandering while you pray. Pray out loud. When you begin to speak out loud, because when you just pray internally, your mind begins to... But when you begin to speak out loud, I know it helps me. It may not help everybody, but it helps me. Because I begin to just speak out loud. And it helps me stay focused on praying. Another thing I believe you can do is use a prayer list because it gives you a guide. You get along and it's like, Lord, what else is there to pray for? Because you don't have anything to help you. That we have a prayer list out there that you could take and you can just pray for others. Maybe it's your own prayer list. And you can always use the Lord's Prayer as a guide to pray, worship Him, and then pray for your daily bread and ask for forgiveness and then ask Him not to lead you into temptation and then end by worshiping. Those are all guides. They're all helpful. But if you don't list them down and you don't have it before you, your mind will drift and you'll get off of prayer. There's so much that we could talk about in prayer, but we just don't have time to cover everything. But looking at the practice that Paul is doing himself as he writes this letter, it ought to stimulate us to want to have prayer in our lives. We ought to want to talk to God more. And don't make it hard. It's simple. God's ready to listen. You don't have to go through a maze to get to God. It's just simply talking to Him. Let me give you four quick things. Set aside time for prayer. You say, well, how do I do that? 3 to 5 minutes. Now, some of you who pray for hours on end, you say, well, 3 to 5 minutes is not enough. 3 to 5 minutes is a starting place for many. In fact, for many, it might be 3 to 5 minutes every month. I'm asking you to take 3 to 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes a day. 3 to 5 minutes to say, God, I just need to pour my heart out to you. God, I need your help today. What if we could just set aside 3 to 5 minutes, church? Also, number two, discuss your life with God. Don't make it so. Too many times we do our prayers, we just throw out all our stuff, and then we move on. We just try to take care of the guilt, but we never really touch the throne. I want you to take personal time and just talk to God. He can handle it. I'll never forget when Martha comes up to Jesus and rebukes him for being late for Lazarus's sickness. And the man died. Where were you? Jesus can handle that. He's all right. He's okay with it. Because he'll just remind you, I'm the resurrection and life. Oh, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the one. I'm everything you need. I'm all you need. Number three, use the Word of God as a starting point in your life. Some people go, I don't know how to pray. Well, use the Word of God. Just read through a passage and apply it. Like if you read the part that says forgive others. That's a great passage, great command. But you just begin to say, God, help me to free me from the hurt that's been put in me, because that hurt causes me to resist doing the command. I don't want to forgive. But you just pour your heart out. What about the scripture says, think pure thoughts? Well, just begin to tell God, these are all my polluted thoughts. You say, well, I can't talk like that in prayer. He can handle it. But if you begin to talk to Him and begin to share to Him, He puts that mirror there and He'll speak to our hearts. Because prayer is just not me talking, it's Him speaking and Him working in me. And fourth, keep that prayer list. I do it on my iPhone. I have a list of people I pray for. And it's just listed there and I open it up and it just helps me to pray for people. And so I encourage you, keep a list. And then tell them, I'm praying for you. That's what He does. And maybe it'll make you a little more accountable. And if somebody says, I'll pray for you, you can go back to them and say, did you pray for me? If they said they were, it shouldn't be an issue, right? Then write it down. Put them on your prayer list and just pray for them. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say about the matter of prayer. I'm going to close. Matthew 6, verse 5. And I'm not going to read these whole passages. I just want you to catch something. Ready? Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, go to verse 6. But when you pray, let's go to verse 7. And when you pray. Now, Jesus is giving some instruction to hear about how we pray, but I think I just want you to catch the idea. It's not an if you pray, it's when you pray. Go to verse 9. He says, this then is how you should pray. And I want you to pray it with me. Are you ready? And this is the good old King James, so it won't mess anybody up. All right? Here we go. We're going to pray it kind of slow because I don't want it to be by rote. Okay? And if you think you know it by heart and you want to bow your head and pray it, then fine. But I want you to think about what you're saying. Ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning I want to apply prayer. Here's how I want to close. I want you to pray for the person next to you. Now, I know it may be in groups of three, but if you can keep it no more than groups of three. This morning, I'm going to use a married couple for a moment. I know there's times we pray with each other, but what I want you to do is I want you to pray for each other. You're only going to get 30 seconds. 30 seconds. But I want you to pray over her. How spiritual do you want your wife? How much of God do you desire for her to have? How godly of a husband do you desire? Then pray those spiritual things over them. Maybe you're sitting next to your children. Pray over them. Pray for their spouse one day. Pray for God to move in their lives. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you know what's going on in each other's lives, and maybe you don't. You don't know when each other goes home and your mind begins to drift and say, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. I don't know what goes on in your mind. But if we begin to pray for each other, what do you think would happen? This morning, you're going to have 30 seconds. That's it. I want one to pray for one and one to pray for the other. Don't pray for temporal stuff right now. Don't pray for material. Pray for something spiritual to happen in their life. Church, could you imagine if we applied prayer? What a powerful thing could happen. Are you ready? Did I teach you enough? Are you too busy? You got to run out? It's 12 o'clock. The roast is going to burn. Let it burn. Eat burnt meat. What does it matter? It's temporal. When we could do something eternal. Church, I'm weeping because I know that God could do something great if we could just get Him to be a part of our lives. But it will only happen as we have fellowship. It's not church. It's fellowship with Him. But I need you to live there, not just me. I need you to walk there. I need you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then let God. I apologize, men. I don't. Because my heart goes out for you, church. As Paul prayed, I pray for you that your spirits would be changed. Your lives will be transformed into the image of Christ.